Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. In Philadelphia, America's first capital city, now a quarter-white, half-black hellhole trending rapidly toward the civilizational level of Haiti, a city that was once unironically called the City of Brotherly Love. There have been mass shootings at the city's transit facilities for 4 consecutive days. 3 have died, more than a dozen shot. 1 victim shot more than 9 times. Surveillance camera video shows masked but anatomically convoyed gunmen exiting a stolen car and then converging on students at a bus stop, then literally filling them full of lead. The endless refrain of the more truthful news reports on these incidents is, no arrests were made. And our beloved Jewish-run mainstream media always fail to mention the race of the attackers. So, who's running the show in Philadelphia? Blacks and mulattoes are in almost all the top positions, with some remaining whites on staff, I wonder how they stand it, keeping an undeserving governmental structure from totally collapsing. The district attorney is the Soros-backed Jew Larry Krasner. If you want to see what the leadership stratum of today's Philadelphia looks like, just take a look at the video I'll embed in the text version of this broadcast on nationalvanguard.org of January's swearing-in ceremony for new police commissioner Kevin Bethel, a mulatto. It's a sad, sad sight to see the mostly older white officers in the audience and in the color guard now serving this group of mostly light-skinned blacks, to see and hear the soul version of the Star-Spangled Banner sung at the ceremony, and to see and hear the mostly well-meaning Bethel describing various violent incidents, including one in which he and his officers had to install bulletproof blankets over the windows of a school to prevent gunfire from hitting and killing students. Adding to the bizarre, surreal nature of this event is the fact that it took place in Philadelphia's Kensington District, where literally right outside the doors of the ceremony's venue, hordes of deranged and damaged people, black and white, roam the streets mindlessly like zombies, gesticulating meaninglessly, bumping into objects, their minds and souls destroyed by the animal tranquilizer called Trank, which has been sold freely on the streets there for years, a direct consequence of the go easy on non-white crime policies of the black Jewish coalition that runs the city. But neither the black mayor nor the mulatto police commissioner can overcome the realities of race. No one, certainly not a collection of 100 IQ mulattoes, can keep an effective rein on nearly a million feral and heavily violent 70 IQ Negroes. Nor can they stop the gang and tribal warfare that is rising there as the inevitable consequence of multiracialism. Nor can they make a city that has gone 75% non-white into the city it was when white men created it and its great culture, architecture, and institutions. Nor do they even want to do so, since they are brown and are therefore naturally absolutely committed to the browning of their city and this nation. They don't even have the competence to keep a bare minimum of order, much less maintain the white man's civilization that was handed to them, much, much less create anything like it. It is a far, far cry from the days half a century ago when Mayor Frank Rizzo urged Philadelphians to, quote-unquote, vote white, and they didn't. Predictably, yesterday, Commissioner Bethel and Krasner blamed the string of shootings on guns. They also said they suspect that the four continuous days of shootings at transit stations are targeted attacks and are the results of a quote-unquote dispute. I am sure that said dispute is yet another example of an infinity of such black-on-black or black-on-mestizo disputes, all of them stupid, pointless, and forgotten in a month revenge or turf war killings over which howler monkey troop owns which crumbling edifice or other. Kevin Bethel will be utterly unable to make them see things any other way. After all, these are the kind of people who will risk life and limb and decades in prison to get a couple $100 from a convenience store till and knife you through the heart if you look at them wrong. And the violence isn't just happening in Philadelphia. In the first 66 days of 2024, there have been 71 officially designated mass shootings in the U.S., and many, many more shootings that didn't quite meet the criteria for being put in that category, almost all of them in our heavily non-white cities. It's gotten so bad on the New York City subways, for example, that the governor of New York has now deployed the National Guard and state troopers to patrol the trains and stops at all times, checking everyone's bags and certainly causing endless delays. But I suppose the bad publicity from delays is less than the bad publicity from dead bodies and bloodstains. The Associated Press reports, quote, New York Governor Kathy Hochul announced plans Wednesday to send the National Guard to the New York City subway system to help police conduct random searches of riders' bags for weapons following a series of high-profile crimes on city trains. Hochul, a Democrat, said she will deploy 750 members of the National Guard to the subways to assist the New York Police Department with bag checks at entrances to busy train stations. For people who are thinking about bringing a gun or knife on the subway, at least this creates a deterrent effect. They might be thinking, you know what, it just may not be worth it because I listen to the mayor and I listen to the governor and they have a lot more people who are going to be checking my bags, Hochul said at a news conference in New York City. The move came as part of a larger effort from the governor's office to address crime in the subway. She also floated a legislative proposal to ban people from trains for 3 years if they are convicted of assaulting a subway passenger, and said officials would install cameras in conductor cabins to protect transit workers. The deployment of the National Guard would bolster an enhanced presence of NYPD officers in the subway system. The governor said she would also send 250 state troopers and police officers from the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, a state agency, to help with the bag searches. Close quote. Yeah, Kathy. I'm sure those cameras will do a hell of a lot to deter those enraged gibbons from assaulting subway conductors, something that they clearly have to be half out of their minds to do in the first place. I am also sure that the state police and National Guard troops are not there primarily to do bag searches. They are there to make literal war on the knifers and shooters, to deal with them in the only language they understand, raw violence. Caught in the middle are the passengers. Come to think about it, they too have to be half out of their minds to ride the subway in, or for that matter, live in, a place like New York City. Those National Guard troops that Hochul is sending in look like they have a high percentage of blacks and other non-whites among them. So sending them in to fight the gangbangers isn't really all that different from just adding another black gang to the violent mix. You're just converting a heavily non-white zone of violence and death into a more militarized and prison-like non-white zone of violence and death. Yes, perhaps the body count of the innocent will be somewhat lower for a time, but giving military-like authority and life-and-death power to a bunch of mulattoes and Congoids isn't going to end very well. Just ask any white woman who served recently in the U.S. Army. The trend all across America is converging on a Haiti-like future. Just the other day, a massive prison break in Haiti set more than 4,000 gang members loose in the capital city there. Within days, the gang members took over all access routes to the airport, leaving the country's prime minister stranded in Puerto Rico while spurred on by the released prisoners, now being called rebels, huge riots against the current regime started to rage. The U.S. is now advising that prime minister to step down in favor of yet another transitional government that will give the rebels what they want. In Haiti, there's a coup every few years when one or another gang of blacks or mulattoes gains the upper hand. But they killed all the whites there more than 200 years ago, so none of these endless revolutions makes much difference in how the place is run. They can't keep the lights on. Citizens are butchered in the streets. Bodies litter the roadways and aren't cleared away for days. Without massive aid from whites, starvation would be universal. There is not the slightest semblance of justice or fairness. Human filth and garbage flood the streets and buildings and homes. There is near zero sanitation. In most places, plumbing is a distant memory. Disease is rampant, and indescribable squalor is the norm. That doesn't have to be our future. Previous generations of white Americans made some very, very bad choices, which, if they're not reversed, will lead to a Haiti-like America. You can already see it emerging in places like Philadelphia. But we can reverse those choices. Previous generations, which I'm a little ashamed to admit, includes my generation, egged on by very clever Jews who told us we just needed to be fair and inclusive and colorblind. went along with the Jewish movement to break down all the borders and boundaries that had kept America a white nation for two centuries. We were sold the idea that none of the good things about America would be lost, that things really would not change that much, except that now we'd be more fair to everyone. But things have changed. They have changed a great deal. They have changed to the point that our culture and even we are disappearing, leaving behind a mongrel America in name only that is unrecognizable to anyone who lived through the change. It is a worthless, fake America. It is their America. It is a mockery of America. It doesn't deserve the name. They have stolen our nation, our birthright, and then turned it into garbage. But we, white people, are more than just innovators and creators of great art and technology. We are nation creators, too. We created Britain and Ireland. We created Germany and France, Holland and Italy, Russia and Greece, and all the great nations founded by our people. We have done it again and again and again. Each wave of creation followed by another, and until very recent years, each wave greater than the one before it. We can and will do it again. And this time, we won't be fooled by clever aliens who preach equality while practicing genocide and Jewish supremacy. This time, we'll make sure that the protection of and upward progress of our race is the very basis, the unchangeable basis of our new nation.